This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. Now, after Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when Peter noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. One of the most meaningful classes I ever took in seminary was my Caring for the Dying and Bereaved class. Now, one of the things that we were taught in this class was a list of things that we should never, ever say to someone who is grieving. This list included phrases like, "This is all part of God's plan. God is testing you, and you'll come out stronger on the other side. God just wanted one more angel in the choir." We were taught that we should never say phrases like this as we care for people in their grief. And the reason we should never say things like this became very, very clear to me the first time I did a funeral for an infant. In the face of that kind of grief, phrases like, "God wanted another angel in the choir," or "God has a plan," felt hollow at best and insulting at worst. The idea of saying to this young couple burying their baby, "This is all part of God's plan," felt like a slap in the face of their grief. I mean, what kind of a God planned the death of their child, their infant? The idea of offering phrases like that felt insulting and hollow. And it became starkly clear to me as I cared for this young couple why we were told to never offer phrases like that. Those phrases felt hollow because God was not in them. Those empty words felt empty because they were not God's presence. Think about those phrases as I consider our lesson from Genesis for today. In this lesson, Joseph goes through something truly traumatic. His older brothers conspire to murder him. Now, his eldest brother, Reuben, seems to have some modicum of conscience because he manages to convince the other brothers not to kill Joseph, but instead throw him into a pit in the wilderness. And we're told that Reuben plans to come back later and rescue Joseph. But before he can, another brother, Judah, decides to make a profit off Joseph by selling him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. His brothers plot to kill him and then decide it would be better to make money off selling him into slavery. Now, if we really understand this story to be true, not just some fable or fairy tale, but Joseph's real lived experience, then this is a traumatic experience. And in the midst of Joseph's grief and fear, offering a phrase like, "This is all part of God's plan, Joseph," would have been truly insulting. It would have been hollow sentiment because God was not present in those empty words. But God was present with Joseph. In the midst of this truly traumatic experience, God acted in Joseph's life. God acted through the variety of people who came into Joseph's life and met him with compassion. Now, make no mistake, there were bumps along the road, and there were other people who would use and abuse Joseph. His life was not perfect from here on out, but he did have life. And over time, it grew into life abundant. Because there were so many people who met Joseph and met him with compassion. There was Potiphar, who first saw gifts in Joseph and lifted them up as he was in the strange foreign land of Egypt. There was the chief jailer who treated Joseph with favor because of God's steadfast love, is what scripture tells us. There's Pharaoh's chief cupbearer who treated Joseph with kindness. And then there's Pharaoh, who places his trust in Joseph to such an extent that Joseph becomes like second in command of all of Egypt. All of these people, in the midst of this very traumatic experience Joseph has, these people meet him with compassion. They meet him with kindness, with love, with favor, with trust. These are the words that scripture describes as these foreign people having for Joseph in this traumatic time. And because these people were open to this compassion, Joseph knew that God had not abandoned him, that God was with him. God was never going to be there in empty phrases like, "Don't worry, Joseph. This is all a part of God's plan." I mean, imagine Joseph in the pit, having all of his brothers just toss him into the pit to die, and shouting into that pit, "Don't worry, Joseph. It's all part of the plan." God was not with Joseph in those hollow words. God was with Joseph and all of the people who chose to have care and compassion for Joseph along the way. When we are in grief, or someone we care about is grieving, God is present in compassion. When I did the funeral for that infant, I was amazed by the resilient spirit that that young couple showed. And as I listened to their stories it became clear to me where that resilient spirit had come from. All of the people who met them with this abundant compassion. They told me about the nurses who held their hands. They told me about the doctors who sat right next to them and cried until no more tears could come. They told me about the family members who stayed up all night when sleep wouldn't come. It was not in hollow phrases that that young couple felt the presence of God. They felt God's presence in the people who met them with such compassion, who cried with them, who grieved with them, who stayed up all night with them, who said, "This is not right that you are burying your child, and I am with you in your grief." My siblings, compassion, that is where God is found, in our grief and in our fear. God is there when we help each other carry the suffering of that grief and fear. God is there when we cry together and share stories, and we listen to one another. God is there when we hold each other's hands because there are no words to convey our despair. That is what compassion is. It's carrying each other's suffering together. And it is in compassion that we find God in our grief and in our fear. That's who Jesus is. In our gospel lesson, the disciples find themselves out at sea in a boat battered by the waves. And Jesus walks into that storm to meet them in that tumult. That is what Jesus does when we are suffering. He walks out into the storm of our despair, and he meets us right there. And when we feel like the storm is around us and we are sinking into those waves, it is Jesus who reaches out his hand and grabs us and holds us so that we do not fall. That is compassion. And that is where God is found. My siblings, in that seminary class I took long ago, our professor warned us against using those phrases. She knew that when confronted with someone who was grieving, we would want to find the right words to make them feel better. That desire to comfort, that's why we often turn to familiar phrases like those. But when someone we care about is grieving, we don't need to find the right words. We just need compassion. We need to listen. We need to cry. We need to hold one another's hands. For my siblings, that is exactly what God does when we are grieving. God sends us the people who care for us, who meet us with kindness and with love. And Jesus walks out into the storm of our grief, and he holds our hands with compassion and with love. Amen.